Hi, I'm Ryan. Today we're reading Psalm 9, 1 to 10. I will give thanks to you, Lord, with all my heart. I will tell all of your wondrous deeds. I'll be glad and rejoice in you. I will sing the praises of your name, O Most High. My enemies turn back. They stumble and perish before you. For you have upheld my right and my cause, sitting enthroned as the righteous judge. You have rebuked the nations and destroyed the wicked. You have blotted out their name forever and ever. Endless ruin has overtaken my enemies. You have uprooted their cities, even the memory of them has perished. The Lord reigns forever. He has established his throne for judgment. He rules the world in righteousness and judges the people with equity. The Lord is a refuge for the oppressed, a stronghold in times of trouble. Those who know your name trust in you, for you, Lord, have never forsaken those who seek you.
All right. Well, good evening, friends. Happy New Year. My name is Nigel. I'm the ministry team here, and it's my pleasure to spend this evening with you. We're going to take ourselves on a bit of a journey tonight. We're going to begin by reflecting back over 2022 and then move forward to be able to look ahead to 2023. So let's begin by reflecting, and this is a great psalm to help us actually reflect on all that God has done for us throughout 2022. Now, as Elliot said a moment ago, this is going to be a different style service to normal. There's going to be some interaction, conversation, etc., etc. So just sort of take a deep breath and get ready for that. It's going to be a little bit different to normal. So here we go. Psalm 9. Look with me from verse 1. The psalmist writes, "I will give thanks to you, Lord, with all my heart. I will tell of all your wonderful deeds. I will be glad and rejoice in you. I will sing the praises of your name, O Most High." Aren't those first two verses just quite amazing as they unpack what can be a great and wonderful response to all that God has done? Look at the first line, and here the psalmist is giving thanks to the Lord with all his heart. You can't do that. You can't give thanks to someone without actually reflecting back and thinking about what they've done for you. And that's what he's doing. He's here proclaiming the need for us to actually reflect back and think on all that God has done. And his first response is to give thanks. In the second line, look what his response is. He says there, "I will tell of all your wonderful deeds." In the third line, "I'll be glad and I will rejoice in you," proclaiming the goodness of God with great joy. And in the fourth line, "I will sing the praises of your name, O Most High." There are four great responses to looking back and seeing all that God has done and being able to rejoice in the goodness of God in the past. And I want to suggest tonight that if you want to do 2023 well, then actually looking back to God's faithfulness first is the first place to be, remembering and reflecting on all that God has done. But in those two verses, it sort of sounds like this guy's had a pretty good 2022. And I know that some of you have had a really bad 2022. And if someone said to you, you know, "Wow, your 2022 looked like it was really good," you might say, "That's cap." And you'd just be like, "No, untrue, it's not there. In fact, I've had a really bad 2022. Just looking around here, I know that for many of you. And the beauty about this psalm is that he captures the reality of life. Now look with me down at verse 9. It says that the Lord is a refuge for the oppressed, a stronghold in times of trouble. Those who know your name trust in you, for you, Lord, have never forsaken those who seek you. You see, not every person's year is like panettone and coffee every morning. Now, a lot of people have a year where they do seek the Lord, for they are oppressed. They seek the Lord that they need refuge. They seek the Lord who is their stronghold in times of trouble. They seek the Lord in whom they can trust. And they seek the Lord who never forsakes, who's always holding on to us, no matter what happens. And so those who know God can reflect on the year gone, and despite its ups and downs, despite the hardships and the gladnesses, despite the loss of loved ones and even the arrival of new ones, we are able to see the faithfulness and love of the Lord for us all in it all, even in the difficult moments. We see his sustaining grace. We see his mercy and kindness. We see him using all of it to grow us to be more like Jesus every day. Now, what I want us to do now for a few moments is actually to reflect on what God has done in us and through us and among us and around us in the last 12 months. I want you to do that by actually just talking to someone next to you. Talk to someone next to you and reflect together on what God has done in you and through you and around you and among you and those you know and love throughout the year. You can chat quietly together if you prefer to just sit in silence for a moment. You can do that. And then in about 1 minute's time or 2 minutes' time, Elliot and I are going to run around with some microphones. And we'd love to hear your reflections. We'd love to hear some of you share with us the way that God has been at work in you in good times and in hard times. And we'll see if we can find 8 people to share with us. This morning we managed to squeeze 6 out, I think, out of the congregation this morning. We're going to look for 8 people to share with us their little reflection on what God has done in you or through you or among you or around you in 2022 in good times and bad, so that we may tell of his wonderful deeds no matter what our year has been like. So turn to someone near you, have a chat together, share something that you are able to reflect on that God has done, and then we'll take some comments in just a moment. Go.
All right. I'm certain that we could have gone on for longer, but we're keen to hear of the Lord's sustaining grace in your life. We're keen to hear on your reflection of how God's been at work in your midst, in the midst of those you know and love. Who would like to share with us something that they talked about? Yeah, okay.
We're from South Africa originally, and my dad, we went to South Africa in April, and he got diagnosed with cancer, and they gave him 6 months to live, which was basically my way of having to say goodbye to him then. And that was really hard. And when we came back, it was really difficult just to deal with the fact that he's still alive, but I had to say goodbye and probably not going to see him again. And I prayed, and I really felt I wanted to see him one more time, but it's an expensive flight and everything like that. And about 3 weeks before my dad died, he phoned and he said, they'll buy me a plane ticket. And I said to my wife, all I want to do there is actually just be there when he dies. And I was able to be there for a week to just help my mom with everything that needed to be done. He died a week after we arrived. Then I was there for a week. They asked me to hold the sermon. I was able to do that, speak at my own dad's funeral. And then I was there for another week to help my mom clear everything up and just make everything and sort it all out. And I can actually speak for about half an hour about all the timings that God did in and around that time, and how my sister, who's from Chicago, booked a beach house for them in February because she was going to be in South Africa for an award ceremony. And not knowing that my dad was sick by that time, and that house actually became the house where my dad went and died. So he was able to be in a beautiful place overlooking the ocean. And we were all together as a family, which is quite miraculous, seeing that we're all from different corners of the world.
So. Yeah, God's sustaining grace. That's beautiful, man. Thanks. Someone else? This is going to be like Billy Graham, right? The buses will wait. Hi, Scott. Good to see you.
Hi, Nigel. This year's been a really... we've dealt with some mental health issues with someone, a very close family member, and then I had my daughter getting married at the end of the year. And so, you know, lots of that joyous experience, also with difficulties of struggling with mental health problems in someone you love and are very close to. So just seeing God's grace through that and in the midst of struggles and joy, I guess that's what the Psalms are so wonderful, because you see all that richness of the life's experiences.
Amazing. It was amazing. And Eleanor's wedding on Friday was just beautiful as well. Joy amidst everything else. All right.
I'm surprised how quiet everyone is tonight. This morning we had more interest and, you know, like, look how many stories we just all shared. We're looking for eight, did you say?
I'm looking for eight, Elliot. Eight. That's it.
Yeah, here we go. We've got a couple of hands now.
So for the past few years, I've been in a really small rural town, and we've got a great church there that is loving and celebrating God with much fewer members than here. But this year especially, I was able to serve on parish council and just be encouraging the people each week and organising events. And so it was really cool to see how even in very different sort of parts of the state and parts of the world, how God just works through his people. Mm.
You're my hero. Anyone who serves on parish council is a hero.
I have been very challenged and rebuked and pushed this year. I feel like often when you think about who you should talk about faith with, you think about like your non-Christian friends, and then you don't end up talking about faith with your Christian friends. But my friends have tried to get into the habit of talking about our faith and actually where we're at, and then rebuking each other as well, which at first, of course, I was like, oi, don't bring up my sin, thanks. I'd rather keep that in the dark. But it's actually, I love seeing the Spirit changing my heart there, that when they do bring it up, I'm like, okay, this is actually a good thing. Thank you for pushing me to be more like Jesus today.
All right, two more. James, one more.
As a preacher, I've frequently in the last year opened a passage and not known what I'm to preach on it, not quite known how to unpack it or to teach it, and so I've had to learn to sit still and wait on the Lord and sit in that passage and let it read me before I say anything publicly, and that's been excellent. I've loved that challenge. Yeah.
Excellent. All right, one more. I'll stand out of the way of the microphone.
For me, and I know for some of my friends as well, it's been a big year of transition. So kind of finishing one stage of life and starting the next, so full-time work, and for others, other things as well. But just even kind of stepping out into a new routine, new expectations of myself and others around me. God's kind of sustaining like network of support through growth group, and being able to serve in other ways as well has been an encouragement, even through change, to have kind of the constantness of God and his community, and being able to serve in that has been really good.
It is amazing, isn't it, just how God sustains us in the midst of all the things that go on, and that he is an ever-present reality that remains with us every single day. And so I just want to remind you again that if you want to do 2023 well, in fact, if you want to do any part of life well, we need to keep looking back. Listen to the psalmists who say, just look back and reflect and look at the way God has been faithful to you in the past. And guess what? He's going to be the same into the future. And so it starts to provide you with a firm foundation for taking on a new year. But also, as we have spent some time reflecting, perhaps as you have reflected and perhaps as Meg said as well, you realise that there is... sometimes when we pause and have a moment like this, we realise that there is some business that we need to do with God. And perhaps you realise that you haven't necessarily been the person that you want to be, and certainly that you haven't been the person who God would want you to be. And as a new year starts, it is good and right for us to come before the Lord and to confess our sins and to put the past into the past so that we can run towards what lies ahead in the faithfulness of God.
Our second Bible reading is Ephesians chapter 2, verse 11 to 13. And as I read this, we're in the remember section. So what is it that we are to remember? Therefore, remember that formerly you who are Gentiles by birth, remember that at that time, you were separate from Christ, excluded from citizenship in Israel, and foreigners to the covenants of the promise, without hope and without God in the world. But now, in Christ Jesus, you who once were far away have been brought near by the blood of Christ.
So there are lots of things that we remember. Lots of things we have inside our brains. Some of them are important and foundational and life-shaping, and some of them are totally random and totally weird. For example, just this week, I just randomly remembered the number plate of my mother's first car. It is MLP899, and I could not tell you why that is in there or why it came out of there at that point in time. It was just so bizarre. There are so many things I should remember, but why that came out, I could not even begin to tell you. Why don't you turn to someone next to you and share two things. What is your earliest memory? What is your earliest memory of life? And then secondly, what do you think is the most important memory that you have? What is your most important memory, your earliest memory and your most important memory? From this morning, someone said to me as they were coming into church that one of their children claims to remember that there was a renovation going on in their bedroom when they were 6 months old. And there was actually a renovation going on in their bedroom. And they just remembered it. One day sort of said, was there a renovation in my bedroom? And they're like, yes, but you're like 6 months old. Yeah, yeah, this happened and this happened. They're like, whoa, that's a little bit freaky. Anyway, share with the person next to you, what is your earliest memory? And what do you think is the most important memory that you have? Go. I'll give you 2 minutes. Go. All right. Who has a memory from when they were... So just put your hand up. Who has a memory from when they were five or younger? Hand up and keep your hand up. Five or younger. Okay, that's pretty good. Four or younger. Three or younger. Two or younger. Oh, wow. One or younger. Yeah, some of the younger members of the congregation tonight have that... Luke, what was your memory from when you were two or younger?
Playing cricket in the back garden.
Luke Sadler, playing cricket in the back garden. Yeah, why is that no surprise? It happened last week as well, right? Yeah, you know it did. Friends, as I get a little bit older, and I'm now in my very, very, very late 30s, I'm discovering that my memory is just becoming a little bit less reliable. You know, names come to me a little bit slower. The diary is just that little bit more necessary. Alarms on my phone to remind me to do things are increasingly useful. I need to be reminded even of the most important things, not because I've forgotten them. Like, I don't wake up in the morning and go, heck, why is that on my finger? And then say, who is that woman in my bed? It's not that bad yet, just so you know. But I am easily distracted. I'm easily distracted from the things that I ought to remember. I'm easily distracted from the things that are most important and foundational to my existence. I try to remember what is most important, but I'm easily distracted by the new and the shiny and the immediate and the urgent. And I know that for me, sometimes I need to slow down and actually remember. I need to remember what is most important and remember what is most life-shaping, remember what is most critical to my existence as a person, to my identity as a person, and to my future. And I wonder if that resonates a little with you. That sometimes we need to come back to basics and remember who we are and whose we are. And this is the second little building block for this evening. Having reflected on the goodness and faithfulness of God to us continually, we're now just going to reflect on our foundations and where we find ourselves as people every single day of the week. And it's intriguing to me how often as you read through the New Testament, we should ask Elliot's son to tell us how often, but as you read through the whole New Testament, how often you hear the word remember, remember, remember. Paul says to these little churches that have only just been founded, they've only just heard the gospel for the first time, some of them within 12 or 18 months, he's writing back to them saying, remember these important things. Our failing memories are not the fault of the iPhone or other technology. It's human nature. It's why Paul says here, I want you to remember, and then proceeds to say things that are simple and foundational and obvious for Christian people. Simple and fundamental, foundational, obvious, part of our spiritual identity. But weirdly and extraordinarily, we often shelve these things for the new, the shiny, the immediate, the urgent. Listen to what he says. Look with me from verse 11, the very start. He says, therefore, remember that formerly you who were Gentiles by birth, remember that at that time you were separate from Christ, excluded from citizenship in Israel, and foreigners to the covenants of the promise, without hope and without God in the world. This is the state of every human being in their natural habitat. That they are people who are separated from God, not citizens in his nation, not included in the promises of God, without hope, without God, and far away from Him. That was your reality, that you were a long way from God. But have a look at the first two words of verse 13 that I think are some of the most beautiful words in the whole Bible. What are those two words? What does he say? But now. What are the two words? But now. But now, in Christ Jesus, you who once were far away have been brought near by the blood of Christ. What great words. Here is the fundamental shift, the fundamental change, the fundamental alteration in the state of human existence. It is that God has done something for you at the cross that you might be forgiven and brought near, brought close to God, brought into His kingdom, brought into His promises, brought into being one who has hope and has God in this world. In Christ's death, God has rescued us from the clutches of sin and the clutches of death and darkness and brought us near. Who had relatives visit them for Christmas? How far did they come? They come overseas, from overseas? How many relatives came from overseas? Like, weird, isn't it? People come from all over the place for Christmas. It's beautiful and a little bit weird. It's a more expensive time of year. You know, as far as your relatives may have come, well, God has brought you from further away to being near with Him. And God has taken your heart. He has made you a citizen. He has given you a new desire that you might serve Him, and He has placed you, even now, seated you with Him in the heavenly realms that you might be His forever. Once we were dead in sin, but now God saved us and made us alive. Once we were captive to death, but now God saved us and made us free. Once we were children of wrath, but now God saved us and in His mercy has shown His kindness towards us. And that is all because He is a great God of wonders who makes the dead alive, who sets the captive free, who pours the riches of His grace out upon us every single day of the week. So never forget this. Your foundational place in the world is one who has been brought near. Look again at verse 13. But now, in Christ Jesus, you who once were far away have been brought near by the blood of Christ. That's what God has done for you. Never forget how great it is to be a Christian. And never forget how great it is that you were away and that God now has you in His hands for eternity. This is the glory of God. Friends, it's easy to forget these things. It's easy to live your life without these things as being foundational. It's easy to walk off that platform and wander off somewhere else. But this year, reflect and now remember who you are in Christ and whose you are, because God has got you. and he's got you for eternity.
Hi, I'm Daniel, going to be reading Luke 19, verses 1 to 10. Jesus entered Jericho and was passing through. A man there by the name of Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector and was wealthy. He wanted to see who Jesus was, but because he was short, he could not see over the crowd. So he ran ahead and climbed a sycamore fig tree to see him, since Jesus was coming that way. When Jesus reached the spot, he looked up and said to him, "Zacchaeus, come down immediately. I must stay at your house today." So he came down at once and welcomed him gladly. All the people saw this and began to mutter, "He has gone to be the guest of a sinner?" But Zacchaeus stood up and said to the Lord, "Look, Lord, here and now I give half of my possessions to the poor, and if I have cheated anybody out of anything, I will pay them back four times the amount." Jesus said to him, "Today salvation has come to this house, because this man too is a son of Abraham, for the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost."
I really like the story of Zacchaeus. It's one of my favourite stories in the whole Bible. Zacchaeus is a man with three problems. His first problem is that no one can work out how many C's and H's there are in his name. And so now you're all looking down wondering, because you didn't know, did you? But now you know there's two H's and one C, so we're all okay. And his second problem was... It's all right, I know there's two C's and one H. It's okay. His second problem was he was a tax collector. There's one of the members of our morning congregation who may be the father of several of the people who are here, Campbells, and he is a tax collector, or at least he works for the tax office. Anyone else here work for the tax office? Oh, he wants to work for the tax office. Good on you, that's excellent. Anyone else work for the tax office? No? Okay, yep. If you do decide to work for the tax office, let us know. We'll pray specially for you. And Zacchaeus' third problem was that he was very short, as short as you can possibly imagine. And so on this one particular day, when in Jericho, Jesus is passing through the city, Zacchaeus, who is this short, wealthy tax man, decides there's only one way for him to actually encounter Jesus, and that's by climbing a tree. Is anyone worried? Right, Nikki's not worried, so don't worry, it's fine. So he climbs a tree. That's absolutely fascinating, really. So here he is, this really rich and wealthy man. Now, in the passage, if you look at all the different words that describe Zacchaeus, it's actually the people in the town who know exactly what Zacchaeus is like. Look at verse 7, and you see the key word there that actually helps you understand what Zacchaeus is like. He is, what's the word? Sinner. It means he's just like anyone else. He's just like you and me. He's just like everyone else in the world. He's got problems, you've got problems. He's got sin, you've got sin. He's just an ordinary human guy. And in some sense, it's like the climbing of the tree, perhaps, just perhaps, is a little bit symbolic of how he sees himself. He sort of thinks, like we all do, I'm most important here. I'm the one who should be elevated the most. I'm the one who ought to be up the highest. And just perhaps it is that when Jesus comes along and looks up in that tree, that he encounters Jesus most profoundly. And in Jesus calling him to come down, oh, it's a realization for him that he needs to actually come down and humble himself at the feet of Jesus. He's interested to see who this famous man is going to be, but perhaps he didn't know until this moment just the impact that this man would have on his life. And so what does Zacchaeus do? Well, he comes down out of the tree, and he comes down for a fresh and new encounter with Jesus. And friends, I want to say that the start of every year opens up for each of us the opportunity for a fresh and new encounter with Jesus. And we began tonight by reflecting on the faithfulness of God. We carried on tonight by remembering who we are through the blood of Christ and whose we are. We've been brought near to God. That's not where it ends. Actually, the life of the Christian person is lived actually in working out our faith to honor God in the world. And so every time we encounter Jesus in the Bible, that ought to be an encounter that changes us, just as encountering Jesus for Zacchaeus changed him. Look at what happens in verse 8. Zacchaeus stands up at this meal that Jesus has invited himself to and says, "Look, Lord, here and now I give half of my possessions to the poor, and if I've cheated anybody out of anything, I will pay back four times the amount." Indeed, his encounter with Jesus meant a wholesale restart of his life. He restarted things in a brand new direction. And tonight, as we finish up, I want to encourage you to think through what part of your life needs a restart with Jesus. In what part of your life do you need to insert Jesus back in so you can move forward actually walking with him? Now, for some, you may have come in tonight, and in fact, your whole life needs a restart. Everything needs a restart with Jesus. And if that's you, then come to him and trust him. But for many of us here, it may not be your whole life that needs a restart, but it is an element of your life, a part of your life. There is something that you know that even now you are thinking of, that you think, yes, that thing needs to be brought under the Word of God. This part of the way I live needs to be brought under the power of God. This way in which I think or behave actually needs to be brought under the way that Jesus wants me to live. Perhaps it's the way you speak. Perhaps it's the way that you treat your family. Perhaps it's the sort of person you are as a student or as a worker. Perhaps it's even just the way you engage with Jesus. Someone asked me this week, how many people in your church are low-so Christians? And I was like, what even is that? And they said, you know, the sort of Christians who listen on Sunday only. Open their Bible in church on a Sunday, close their Bible on a Monday, open it again the following Sunday. Now friends, you'll know the areas in your life where you need to change. You will know the areas in your life where you need a restart, just like Zacchaeus needed a restart. You'll know the things that need to be corrected, the courses that need correction in your life. And if you're sitting there thinking to yourself, I don't really know, then ask someone who knows you well, and I assure you they'll tell you a whole string of things that you might need help in. So what we're going to do for a moment is I want you just to now think and pray. Just yourself, as we're seated here now, what are some things in your life that you think might need a hard restart in you bringing them under the authority of Christ, in you living and actually breathing, walking with Christ each day? What are some things that need to change for you? I'm not asking you to make a New Year's resolution. I'm actually just asking you to reflect on how awesome God is, remember who you are, and be who you are. That's it. But perhaps for you it's as simple as just you need to engage with God more regularly in the Scriptures. And if that's you, make a plan, ask for help if you need it, make it happen, restart today. Be who you are. Perhaps it's rejuvenating your prayer life. Make a plan. Ask for help. Make it happen. Restart that today. Perhaps it's something else. Make a plan. Ask for help if you need it. Make it happen. Restart that today. For me, I think it is prayerfulness. And I think as I was preparing for today, I realized that in the busyness of the last few months, my prayers went from commonplace to almost no place. Actually, I was reflecting on some of the meetings that I have with some of our staff, and I thought, actually, I can remember having meetings with some of our staff where we didn't even pray in the meeting. Things were so hectic, and we just had to get things done. And so it's time for me to actually come back and be more prayerful, to slow down, and to come before the Lord with all my joys and anxieties and praises and requests, and to do so many times daily. And so this is the perfect time for you to have your Zacchaeus moment. for you to drink deep of the riches of God's grace, to hit restart, and to lean hard into Jesus for every day. What will it look like for you to put Jesus in first place in 2023? If you look at verse 10 in that Zacchaeus story. The Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost. Friends, sometimes I think we can get a little lost again. And so what are you going to hit restart on? How are you going to do that? Reflect, remember your foundations, and then restart being who you are in Christ. Let's finish by praying the prayer, which is on the back of the sheet. This is a prayer that I've partly written and partly taken from other places. I want to encourage you to think about your own prayer for the new year as well, something that you might be able to pray each day or even just pray regularly throughout the year for yourself. Let's pray this prayer together. Father, thank you for your great love for us and the many ways you have blessed our lives. Thank you that your favour has no end. Thank you that it lasts for a lifetime. Forgive us for sometimes forgetting that you know all our ways, that you know what concerns us, and you continually protect us for eternity. We ask that we would walk in your blessing and goodness today, that your face would shine on us, that you would open the right doors for our lives and for our loved ones, that you would close the wrong doors and protect us from those we need to walk away from. Establish the work of our hands and bring to fulfillment all that you have given us to do in these days. We pray that you would make our way purposeful and our footsteps firm out of your goodness and love. Give us joy in you rather than our circumstances, and the strength to carry on when circumstances bring grief and sadness. Give us courage to pray big prayers, to listen daily to your word, and make us strong by your huge favour and grace. In Jesus' name, amen.